The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And now we step into our feature called Let's Talk Cancer. And today we have in studio Amelia McPhee Ogaro. Welcome. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Tusker.
How are you doing?
Wonderful.
So it's good to see you again.
Yes, good to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
No problem. So the last time we talked, you gave us the story of your journey and, you know, accomplishing so much since then and being now part of a network that helps others.
Yes.
I foolishly asked you, so you're going out for Carnival, you know, what events you'll be taking part in? And she quickly humbled me and said, no, I think I'll be staying home, you know, with family, have a lunch, you know. And to the back of my mind, it was like, so why not go out? And what was it that you told me?
Because of my compromised immunity. So I prefer not to do too much crowds, because with too much crowds now, you're more susceptible to get viruses or so on. And listen, when you see anything hits this immune system that is not good for you, it could throw you flat down. I remember last year, I had a few episodes. I got dengue. Yeah, was by the doctor probably like 3 days in a row. Had to get eye drips. Then later the year, I got the virus. Same thing again. Drips, because I was so dehydrated. I took take care of myself so I don't have to have any sort of episodes, because I like to be healthy. I like to be out and about, but within my limits.
Yeah, and within reason as well.
Yes.
Now, the reason why I brought this up is because it was so easy for me to say, well, in my back of my mind, why are you not going out? You know, without really thinking that just being in an environment that has these pathogens flying around could be deadly for you.
Very much so.
You know, and how do we, as people who are not survivors, understand or appreciate, when it is you say, no, these are the reasons why, not to take it too personal.
Well, you see, it's all about educating persons and for them to really understand and respect your decisions as an individual who is a survivor, who is trying their best to live, because we want to live a healthy lifestyle as well. We want to be around, you know, so that we could enjoy everything as well, but we have our limits. So we, well, for me, I can speak for me, I try my best to always eat healthy. If I have to do large crowds, wouldn't be for too long. I always make sure I wear my mask. Like I was telling you before, Kes was in South Park, and I was like, oh gosh, I would like to go. But when I think about the large crowd, I was like, I'll stay home.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll prefer stay home,
It's almost like there's this movie that I saw with a girl, and her mother refused to let her out of the house. And she had to be in a bubble. So it's literally like that. You have to place yourself.
You have to choose. You have to choose. You have to know. Within reason. If you could do this, if you could do that, or if not, so I choose. So like, for instance, last Saturday, the Cancer Society Survivors Network, we had our first meeting. And after the meeting, you know, a few of us, we went across to the Carnival Village, and it was nice and quiet because it was the middle of the day. You know, and we took pictures and just enjoyed the scenery. So, you know, things like that where, you know, within reason, within your limits,
And it's amazing how you have to literally adjust your thinking.
Yes.
I'm telling you, today is a eye-opening thing, because that simple question, you want to go somewhere, and the number of things that you have to think about, just so that, you know, you don't put yourself in a, to compromise your immune system. It's it's challenging.
Yeah, because it's daily, right? So like for me, on a morning when I wake up, Tusker, you wouldn't believe how much pain I just been from my foot come right up, you know. So you have to come out of the bed gingerly, because under the feet feels sore, and then your fingers numb. So it's like you had to actually warm up your body. You had to crank it up first, you know. And I always tell people, once I'm out and about, I'm good. But when you see I stop, that's it. You know, and I try not to overdo. Sometimes if I overdo it, the next day can't do anything.
All right. Now, besides trying to remember or keeping the forefront of your mind, your space and the environments that you're in. What are other factors that survivors have to consider?
Eating healthy, I will always put that to the top of the list, making sure that you take care of yourself, and not only eating healthy, but you see your mental health. Mental health is very important, you know, and I was having a conversation with someone yesterday just about that, with mental health, protecting that space with your mental health, because having a cancer diagnosis, it puts you in a different space mentally, right? So you now have to fight hard to block out the negative energy, the negative thoughts, right? Because sometimes you hear of persons, from the time they hear they're diagnosed with cancer, immediately they go into depression. Sometimes some people don't have the will to fight to live, and they die without even fighting hard. So I would put mental health, your spiritual health as well, your spiritual well-being, and physical, eating healthy, taking a little exercise. I will put those things to the top of my list as a survivor. Yeah.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to take a short one. We could probably talk to what individuals who are not, who have not journeyed through cancer, what perspectives they should be aware of, so that, you know, I guess it wouldn't offend you.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Sure. Tune in to Betterments with Old Space. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Base tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Base, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Base, Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you, only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
Are you ready for the heat, excitement and music? Get ready to tap into the source for all the latest tea on the Caribbean's top performers. It's Zag right here on CNC3. Stay ahead of the culture and get the behind-the-scenes access you've always wanted, with exclusive celebrity interviews, red carpet moments, and new scoops you just can't miss. It's our culture brought to you live and direct. Get ready. It's time for Zag. Only on CNC3, premiering February 4th and airing every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
TNT, 11:21 in the nation's capital, which means it's approximately half an hour. We've got again to our news update right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. And in studio, we have Miss Amelia McPhee Ogaro, and she is a cancer survivor. And we're talking about different, you know, aspects of after cancer. And like I say in the beginning, you know, talking about those who are not in the situation, how not to offend cancer survivors when they put their boundaries in place. So tell us a little bit more about that, because we could be, you know, insistent. It's not really a concept in our heads.
Yeah. So sometimes people pry unnecessarily. Mm. You know, I saw the other day a young lady posted that she was diagnosed and she did the surgery and so on, and a few people well commented and say, you know, why you didn't tell me something, you know, and she replied, you know, she wasn't ready at that time. And sometimes you need to respect that space that people are in, because it's difficult. First, it begins that you have to process it for yourself. I know sometimes people mean well and they want to help and they want to share, but sometimes it could bombard you, it could overwhelm you with...
overstimulate.
Yeah, too much information at one time. Sometimes you're not ready for that. You need to process what's happening. And, you know, not sometimes not saying anything helps as well.
Yeah.
Just being there. Sometimes you don't even want to talk about what's happening, like, with your medical situation. You probably just want to talk about something else.
Something else. Yeah. So let's free the mind a little bit. Yeah.
Let's just talk about something. Let's just be normal. Sometimes it could be a little awkward, you know, having conversations. And so people need to understand that. You just be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just be that human and try to be empathetic. Mm-hmm. You don't really need the sympathy and, oh gosh, Gail, I'm real sorry to hear that. I don't know. And how you feeling? Mm-hmm. You know, so, because sometimes I feel like you're always sick.
Yeah.
No, we good. Yes, we have all days and so on, but it's not that 24/7.
It needs to be referred to.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just want to live. Just be happy and normal. Yeah.
And these are the experiences. Well, we're going to talk about that. Experiences of a cancer survivor past all of the treatments and you're in recovery, remission.
Yeah.
What are some of the experiences that you have had?
Well, for me, it's like readjusting to life after treatment and so on. Because for me, going back out to work, it was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder if I'll be bombarded with all the questions. I wonder if I was ready to answer all those questions. I was wondering if I really was ready to share. Tosca, I wasn't ready to share. No, I just started to become brave because I realized, you know what? You need to share this story. This is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that what I went through, it wasn't for me. I've realized that this journey is to help others, because I've met so many other women after my diagnosis that I was able to interact with and give them encouragement and just a little word of advice, to just be there for them. And I realized, you know, sometimes we question God, why this happened to me, boy? And I remember being in that space. I was like, oh God, why? How this happened? And I remember that gentle voice say, why not you? Yeah. So now I understand why me, because for me, I always say I want to be that voice of hope, or that when people see me, they could find hope that, yes, I could do this. I could go through this journey. So for me, life after diagnosis and so on, the readjusting was a bit difficult, because you're always wondering, oh gosh, I wonder how people would accept me, what they say, how they look at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people come at you kind of a little weird. Oh gosh, how you looking? So you lost some weight.
Because they have no concept. They have goodness. Not reading the room.
Yeah, yes. Oh gosh. Yeah. You know, I mean, yes, I know I lose some weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm alive. I'm here. I am well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the readjusting part, because for me, I remember before I had to go back out to work, I said, okay, let me get my clothes together. And I realized, oh my gosh, I lost with everything swinging.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, let's do this, Amelia. Pull out the sewing machine and
stitch up.
Adjust the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Dress yourself and you go.
Yeah. How did you deal with the response of the workspace? Because I mean, you mentioned some of it already. Those who would have known, and then those who would not have known, and then these comments jump out. Other than that, was the workload too much for you?
No.
What was your attention span like?
Yeah. So I remember the first day, it wasn't difficult because everyone was so receptive. As I said, some knew, some didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I preferred it that way because I didn't want to be overwhelmed. And I actually had to reach out for mental health, for help. Before, because I was talking to one of the counselors, I was like, I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm.
I have an anxiety. I can't do this. I even reached out to a cousin of mine, and you know, he would say, Amelia, be fine. Mm-hmm. He say, if anybody come and ask anything, just tell my own business. Don't ask my
or say something to the effect like, you know, I'm not really ready to talk about that.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
but
give me some space.
But you wouldn't believe, like God answered my prayer, because I tell you, I was really nervous and nobody came and bombarded me. You know, one of my coworkers, they put balloons on my desk and put welcome back. It was really lovely. They give me a card, everybody signed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was warm. It was welcoming. And I appreciated that. It wasn't too much, but it was good.
And you acknowledge still.
Yes.
Which helps a lot.
Yes.
With, you know.
Yeah.
Because from understanding what you talked about with your journey, it would have been highs and lows.
Yes.
You know, and, and the low parts would have, I guess the high, that acknowledgement that you're back and you're strong would have,
Yeah, it gave you a little fuel to keep going. But listen, when I got home at the end of the day, I felt like if I worked for the entire week, I was tired. Tired physically and mentally. It was because I was home for a year.
Okay.
On medical leave. Yeah, so being home in that relaxed state and then going back out to work, it was like the body like, oh my God, what's happening here? But after a while, I was fine. I was fine.
Well, what I want to commend your employers on is that they actually recognize the space for compassion where work is concerned. Is there some advocates for that type of treatment across the board where other companies are concerned? And I should have asked first if this was a private or a public space.
Public.
Well, even more interesting.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to find out is, do you think that that should be like a mandate?
Yes.
Or a standard?
Yes, it should be, because persons believe that even if you're going through, I've heard of scenarios where people go for treatment and they go back to work. I was like, what? Because I felt after taking treatment, it's like, do you remember, this is like this is poison going into your body, right?
That destroying every single cell. Yep.
Right? And your body now is in a different place where it have to fight the good and the bad. You know, so it does drain you physically. And I'm saying, wow, this is harsh, where some people actually, you have to choose your job over yourself.
Over your treatment. Imagine that. Yeah.
Yes. Look, right now I know of someone who has to do radiation. And I told her, I said, listen, when you go in, please call me. I will go with you because I want to speak with the doctor to ensure that you do get medical leave.
Because you have to get these certificates.
Yes, because... Right. Sometimes you may feel, oh, the radiation is just a 10-minute treatment. But remember, this is, I did 18 rounds of radiation. And it's every day, like for the week, Monday to Friday. And although it's a short treatment, 10, 15 minutes, it takes a lot. Because remember, you have to get up every morning. You have to get dressed. You have to go to the medical center. You have to sit. You have to wait. So it's a lot of processes. So
it's a mental stress as well. Because hoping that when you get there, it will be efficient and quick and all of that. But you have to mentally prepare yourself for the bull.
So,
you know,
when you finish that, you think you really want to go and see your workplace?
No, you don't want to see anybody You don't want to do any work.
I don't want to do anything.
And the reality is, many people have to do that because that's the job that will pay their bills.
That's it.
If it is insurance not up to par, you have to pay the bill because you wouldn't be able to continue treatment. And it's really sad that you have to choose between money.
Money over your health.
Your life.
Yeah. So that's why I encourage people. And that's why I choose to share now, because I want people to know, listen, pay attention to yourself. Right? Do your check. Sometimes we're scared, Tusker, to know if something is wrong. Some people say they prefer not know.
Yeah, that was part of the conversation we were having. I'm a little scared.
Yes.
Myself.
Of course.
Seeing as there's a history of that in my family and the deliberation of, you know, well, you're reaching the age.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been screening so far, so good.
Thank God.
Yeah, for real.
Thank God.
But, you know, you're looking at other individuals in your family as well, and you're wondering, Lord, am I really strong enough to deal with another story like this?
That's it.
You know?
That's it. Yeah, because I tell you, I never thought cancer would have hit home. I never thought that. You know, you're going about life normal, as they say, normal.
And then this.
And then one day, bam.
From left field.
Like, where did you come from?
Yeah,
and I did genetic testing and it was nowhere in my genetics. Nowhere.
I remember you saying that the first time. Yeah, so you didn't smoke.
No.
None of those lifestyle ills and genetic testing. And here it is, it pops up.
Yeah. So that's why I encourage people, you know, be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? I have a different lease on life now. Huh? Mm-hmm. I am so in a different space mentally and everything. I believe like I now started to live. Like I know I'm now knowing myself, who is Amelia.
Yeah. I think too is a purpose that you've finally found.
Yes.
You know, because you've been, but from the last time as well, you told me that you're networking with a lot more people and survivors to guide them through this process. Mm. Another part of it is the long-term health concerns that you'd have as a survivor.
Yeah.
What would be some of them?
So as a cancer survivor, the long-term, you always have to do your screenings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes that little fear you always have in the back of your mind, what if it reoccurs? But I choose to fight that fear and do your testing, because like right now I have to do a CT scan, waiting again. Did it through the public health system, and they said okay, they have to postpone it because no dye for the machine for the CT scan. Yeah, so it's like since January I was supposed to do that test, and then it rescheduled to April.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, because they say, you know, well, we have more urgent cases, which I understand. But however, so if I want to do it, I have to go privately.
Privately.
Yeah.
Do I dare ask how much it is to do it privately?
I did not check the cost, but I'm quite sure it's over $1,500. Yeah, I'm quite sure.
And you're still, that is a bill.
Yeah.
In some cases. Or food for the week. So you still have to decide, do I eat for the week or do I get this CT scan?
And again,
that is the reality for many people out there.
And another challenge, you know, again, as we mentioned, the compromised immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, you have to choose, okay, do I go to this event? Do I go to this family gathering? If I go, how long I'm staying? If you're going to hug up everybody, because I like to hug. If I didn't see you a long time, I want to hug you up and all that and so on.
And little children who...
Oh, gosh, and I love them. I love the children.
And, you know, they come with their nose all runny and and they have no clue as to why you're pushing them away.
Yeah, so I try my best to take my vitamins and so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my doctor, I will always try and go do my checkups, take my vitamin B shots. You know, she takes good care of me. I must say thanks to her doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes good care of me. She always check up, Amelia, you okay? You know, I remember the first time when I got the virus really bad, she was worried. She said, Amelia, if you saw how you looked when you came in this office, I almost sent you to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she sent her son, he's in med school, and she sent him home to do a home visit, and she sent fruits and all these things to make sure that I was well. So imagine that, you know, that the doctor is actually looking out for me, you know, and it's good to have people there looking out for you who mean well, who have your back, who understands the journey. What it means.
Support system. That's one of the things that we talked about the last time as well, making sure that that support system is available, consistent.
Yes.
And from there, you try to navigate expenses and all of that too.
Yeah.
How should I ask that part of it? Because it is a very expensive disease.
Yeah.
I mean, it might sound funny, but the reality is it is very expensive.
It is very expensive because, look, for instance, radiation. When I got the cost of radiation, it's $168,000, right? Now, this is why I'm telling people, please take good care of yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, the government does fund the radiation to a certain extent. So if it is that you have private insurance, the insurance will foot part of the bill and the government foots the other part. But you have to go through screenings, through the social worker and so on, and they do their assessments to see, okay, if you fall in the bracket where that the government will fund the entire bill, or if it is that you have insurance, the insurance will fund part of the government. So although we don't have a perfect health system, they still help in a great way.
Some sort of balance, and then fundraising and so on comes in. So part of the other part of survivorship is dietary concerns.
Yes.
And just earlier on in this hour, we talked about carnival diets and, you know, all the revelry and festivities and all that.
Yeah.
And obviously, that diet will be different to what you would need.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you've changed in your diet or added to your diet since learning that you're in remission?
Yeah, so what I do, I try to eat a lot of fruits or do smoothies. Stay hydrated, coconut water, which I don't like.
Oh, I don't understand how people don't like coconut water.
I don't like it.
Tasha. And you're from a Caribbean island.
I don't like it. But I try. I try with the coconut water. So I will try to make sure do more fruits, more vegetables, nuts and grains and things like that. I cut down sugars a lot. Yeah, so... But everything in moderation.
Correct.
Everything in moderation.
Mm.
You know, I like my pizza. You might eat a pizza once a month or so. You know, so everything in moderation. Yeah, and you live.
Mm.
Yeah.
And, well, stay away from things like alcohol.
Of course. Yeah.
What else is there? You had another topic you wanted to touch on as well. From... networking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see an improvement in terms of morale and the energies that are put into survivorship?
Certainly. So I am a part of the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society Survivors Network, and they are a strong group of people there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have meetings. As I said, we had one last week, February. So we had our first in-house meeting last week, and you know, some of us we keep in contact every day. Sometimes once a week we will check in with each other, how you're doing. Sometimes, you know, we'll meet up, you know, go for a drive, or, you know, go sit down, just hang out, or just talk. But networking is so important, because sometimes you mightn't be feeling well, or you might have some side effect, and it might be something pop up strange, and you know, you can reach out and call up a sister and say, you know, I don't understand what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Have anybody experienced
this before?
I remember, when I was a newbie to the group, and there's this medication called Zometa that you have to take to help strengthen your bones, right? Because the chemo and so weakened
leeches.
And the first time Tuskai took that Zometa, listen, my entire body was in pain from my head, literally, to the bottom of my feet. Pain.
Mm.
I did not even experience that amount of pain when I did chemo. And I reached out to the group. I said, listen, ladies, some only help. I'm in pain. What was this? Anybody ever experienced this? And someone messaged me privately and say, yes, thing, but it's very necessary. The doctor in the group, Dr. LeBlanc, you know, she reached out to, she's a beautiful lady.
And I kind of feel any pain in the bones a little bit. But yes, Dr. LeBlanc is a lovely lady.
Such a darling. And she said, you know, that's the side effect of the thing, of the Zometa. So she said, okay, next time you're going for the Zometa, you're going to take your pain meds, stay hydrated, and ask them to run the IV a bit slower, because sometimes if it goes through too fast, and some people, that's why I experience all that excessive pain. I tell you, my knees were swollen, my feet, it was just painful. I went to my oncologist the next day, and I was like, Dr. Bim, and when I walk in the office, she's like, Amelia, what happened to you? This is the first time I ever see you so distressed. And I was like, pain. And she's like, oh my gosh, that's the side effects of the Zometa.
Yeah.
And the same thing that Dr. LeBlanc said, she said the same thing, you know, ask them to run the IV a bit slower. So instead, like, if the IV is for like half an hour, ask them to run it for 45 minutes. So I have to take this 3 times for the year. So she said, the next time I go, make sure and tell them. So I told the doctor, I say, you know, doc, the first time I took this, I was in so much a pain. If it is that, you all could run it a little slower. And they said, no problem, we'll try it.
They don't have any alternatives. You have to take that medication.
Well, yeah, and calcium and so on. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, because your bones could get brittle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think this is why so much research is going into cancer and treatments so that, you know, probably if not this year, next year or the next 2 years, there'll be something different.
So the
pain would be relieved.
Yeah. And I always say that. I say, Lord, I really hope that people don't have to experience this.
Yeah.
I always want people to have we want to have a good quality of life. Even though you have to go through treatments, it shouldn't be so harsh that the quality of your life depletes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really hope. Mm-hmm. I really, really do hope.
I mean, cancer is a bummer already to have the medication on top of that. Yeah,
I really do hope that, you know, with research and so on, things would be better.
Would be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone you would like to say good morning to?
Certainly. My family who is in the lobby there, my mom, my cousins, and they. Good morning to you all. Good morning to Rebecca. Good morning and happy birthday. Good morning to the ladies at the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society. My church family, Marble Pentecostal Community Empowerment Center, all my friends, Ramona. Oh, so much people. Let me don't call any names, but
because they will get upset if you leave out one.
Yes. So my brother Denzel, my sisters Alicia, Shelley, who is abroad, Isaiah, my nephews, everyone, my in-laws, everybody. I love you all so much and thank you all so much for your love and support. I truly, truly love you all.
And for 2025, what would be on the bucket list to do this year?
Oh gosh, yes. So definitely a travel trip because I have not been on a 2021 when I was, well, COVID 2020, then 21, I got diagnosed and then treatment and all that. So definitely some sort of a little vacation, a little time out.
Yeah,
would be.
A little rest and reflection.
A little rest and reflect, yes.
All right, Miss Ogaro, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Yes. And thank you for telling us and giving us a different perspective on survivorship. And for those who are not experiencing it, could understand, you know, how to accept.
Yeah.
Those things that would help you further in your journey.
Yes, just be nice.
Yes. Be nice.
Just be nice.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.